Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for this, Bus Hugh? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
You know, set, ready.
I'm ready. I'm just a little anxiety. Yeah, I'm not going to
Come on, watch old Bandit run.
Well, to me, the highlight is going to be when I get to Bucky's. Get me some stuff. I'm trying to figure out. I might just have it shipped because getting stuff in Bucky's on the bus. Might not trust everybody on the bus taking my.
You don't trust
contraband.
Our audience. No one's taking your stuff.
Like, because you know what? Let me tell you what's going to happen. This is what I envision. There are going to be some people.
This is family, Hugh.
Yeah, it is, and they're going to be, and you know, just like family goes, somebody's going to go to Bucky's, and they're not going to know what Bucky's is, so they're going to have their arms full. I'm not fooling with it, and then they're going to see us enjoying the beaver nuggets and all the beef jerky and all the other good stuff.
Won't you share? No big deal.
Ain't nobody sharing.
All right, I'll share, everyone. No worries here.
I'm not a sharer.
Yeah, that's right. But you're going to have to check your ego at the door for this trip. I'm just going to tell you.
He's bowing it down, Joe.
We're
going to ruin this bus trip.
No, I'm not.
Such a downer.
I'm not.
I'm
not going to talk to anybody, not going to share anything with anybody.
We're at the point where we might have to vote if Hugh's even allowed on the bus.
Listen, I will talk, but this is going against everything that normally road trips are for me. It's good music.
We could listen to good
music. You know, periodically bus stop. But only time we would stop was to get gas. No pee breaks.
Well, we'll have a
toilet.
Yeah.
But then it's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to want to talk. And I'm going to be like, not all the time. I mean, I don't mind talking, but not like all the time.
Such a buzzkill.
I know. Come on, we got 18 hours.
So, wait, smack talking defense the whole time, talking about they're just a luxury.
So wait a minute. Mm-hmm. First of all, don't act like both of you guys get around people, and sometimes you don't want to talk sports all the time. Like, even in Thanksgiving, like, you know, when you get that obligatory, so, what about those Eagles?
We'll
talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff
to talk about. Okay, we can talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You can bring some gummies.
We have to have someone on Bigfoot sighting duty the whole drive, by the way.
Something tells me this trip's going to have quite a few people on Bigfoot sighting duty.
Especially when we go through Carolina.
Yes. It's going to be. Now, the path there is going to matter, right? If the Eagles are going to go to the Super Bowl and we're taking a bus to New Orleans, getting there is going to be the challenge. And the better path the Eagles have, obviously, the better chances they have. And that, you know, I'm talking about the number one seed, which I have been pretty consistent. I have thought and still think Detroit's got the inside track to this, but the Eagles are right there. I mean, and I no longer believe it's as, like, 2 weeks ago, if you would have said, Joe, who's going to have the number one seed? I would have said the Detroit Lions. And you say to me today, who's going to have the number one seed? And I would say probably the Detroit Lions, though it's not as, I don't feel as strong about that because the Eagles just went on the road and won both games handily. And they don't have another game this season where they'll likely be an underdog. So let's play this thing out, Hugh. What needs to happen? How this goes? So right now, the Lions are 11-1. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are 10-2. So they either have to catch them, tie them, and win a tiebreaker, or obviously got to jump over them. Here are the remaining schedules for each team. As of right now, it is far more difficult for the Detroit Lions. Remaining schedule for the Lions. All right, Hugh, I'm going to give you the schedule. You tell me how many losses they have between now and the end of the season, okay?
Yeah, let me go.
This Thursday night, home against Green Bay. Who wins? I think it's a very tricky game for Detroit.
Yeah. I'm going to say Green Bay.
Home against the Bills.
They take an L.
The Lions?
To the Bills. Home against the Bills?
I think they beat the Bills.
You think they beat the Bills at home?
Yep. There will be on an extra long week because they play
Thursday. And Chicago owes me one.
You think the Lions are going to lose three games in a row?
Yes. Chicago owes me that.
Hugh.
Chicago owes. No, listen.
Hugh, stop.
I gave y'all a banging parlay that almost hit last week. No, listen. Almost doesn't count in gambling.
You got floosed.
It doesn't. You got totally floosed.
Hey. But sometimes it's better to be confident than right. I almost hit that thing. All there was a lot of people damn it, man.
You think the Lions, who have lost zero games this week, are about to drop three in a row?
Three.
Okay.
Three of them things.
After that, at 49ers.
They'll beat the 49ers.
Home against the Vikings.
They'll beat the Vikings.
So you think they're going to lose three more games to finish the season 13-4?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the way you say it, though, Joe.
Because this team hasn't lost in two months. They lose three in a row.
They're leaking oil.
Are they?
Nah.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears has played pretty good
I don't think they look like this big unbeatable team
For a while.
Yeah. Well,
but the week before that, didn't they put up like 50 points?
Yeah.
Just saying it was one game.
Well, they look gettable.
I think they could lose the Packers this week.
Yeah.
All right. If I had to guess, they're going to lose just one more game, this game to Green Bay. I think they're going to win the rest of the games. Bills at home, at Bears, at Niners, Vikings. I think there's one more loss on the Lions' schedule. They go 15-2.
Can I paint an ideal scenario for you?
I'd love to hear it.
The Lions lose to, this is an everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
Lions lose to Green Bay and lose to Minnesota. However.
So that's three losses.
Three losses total in the season.
Yep.
The Eagles win out. The Lions beat the Bills and knock Josh Allen down a peg on the MVP.
Double whammy.
So the Eagles get the one seed.
And the MVP.
Hey,
MVP.
Now y'all thinking outside the box.
Right. I like that.
That's what I do.
All right, so here's the scenarios we need to pay attention to. Obviously, the Eagles games are Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants. Hugh, how many games the Eagles going to lose the rest of the season? Panthers, Steelers, at Commanders, home Giants, home Cowboys.
Win out.
So they're 15-2 and the Lions are 13-4.
Yes.
You have us getting the number one seed by two full games?
Yes.
I like your math on this. All right, here's an important...
I mean, because it's not... I'm looking at it, going down the stretch, you were worried about the Steelers and the way that they've been playing.
Well, I still think that's a challenge.
I just feel like, as long as, put it like this, one caveat, that offensive line got to stay healthy. I think they move the crowd. Like, the teams that they're looking at, if we keep the formula, and they move the crowd the way they've been moving the crowd, yeah, I think we can win out.
So, I think it's pretty likely neither team is going to be an underdog again the rest of the season,
mm-hmm.
Detroit or the Eagles. So right now we're behind one game. Here's one thing specifically to note. The only way the Eagles would win a tiebreaker with the Lions if they're both 15-2. So that would mean the Eagles win out and Detroit loses just one more game. That loss has to be this week to the Packers. We really need the Packers this week, guys. Like if we have a chance at the one seed, we really need the Packers to win this game. Like there's a path to the Eagles getting it if the Lions do win this Thursday. But the real path is the Packers got to beat the Lions on Thursday night. That's the best way in.
Well, okay, so like Eagles getting home field versus Green Bay, I totally prefer that. If you just told me like on a neutral field, I think I'd rather play the Lions than the Packers at this point.
Oh, I don't think so.
I do. The Lions are
better than the Packers.
Fine, record-wise, but we might not be saying that after Thursday if Green Bay beats them,
well,
right?
True,
like their offensive line's really good. I don't think their defense that good. Green Bay's got a pretty good defense, man. They can run the ball with Jacobs, and I would take Love at this point over Jared Goff.
Yeah, Love does throw picks, though.
Yeah, so does Goff.
Well, one game of them. He had one full game of like half his picks this season. All right, but keep an eye on it. So this Thursday night, Lions-Packers, if the Eagles are going to win a tiebreaker 15-2, really need the Packers to win this game coming up on Thursday. Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. We got some doozies for Twitter polls today. Has Zach Bond surpassed Hugh Douglas as the best 53 in Eagles history? 59% are still with you, Hugh.
Is that right? I'm surprised. I appreciate y'all.
I'm not really that surprised. Bond's done this for, 12 games.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, well, more than that, but you did it for years.
Bond probably thinks defense is a necessity, though.
No, he told us that. No, he told us something similar to that.
Yeah, we talked about this. I think he was disappointed in Hugh when that came up.
He won't be the first one. Get in line.
Was that the most impressive win of the Nick Sirianni era? 57% said yes. All right, let's go to the phones here. Hulk Hogan is up next on WIP. What's up, Hulk Hogan?
Hey, are you guys having a contest today to find out who the biggest dope is in the Delaware Valley?
Well, we do that every day, but yeah, yes.
Well, I mean, they're talking about Hurts is a fraud. He's a manager, all right, at Winning, Winning, and Winning Corporation, all right? When they asked him about the perception that he's a game manager, he said people have different terms. So what I think with Hurts right now is, he is managing the game, but what do you want him to do? He's not trying to, they go down 9-0. He could have started trying to play hero ball.
Hero ball.
And got us into a big mess.
Didn't do that.
No, he stayed within himself, and he didn't turn the ball over, Hulk Hogan, which was the issue earlier in the season.
Yeah, so I don't see what the big deal is. Also, I'm freaking excited. Cooper DeJohn planted Derrick Henry in the dirt like that seed from the Nick Sirianni flower speech.
How many times you watched that highlight, Hoagie? Because for me, it's been like 15.
Oh, my God. I got it on. I made it into a GIF, and I just keep watching it.
You keep watching that, Hugh? That slam?
No, I don't keep watching it.
You haven't watched it?
I like how it's evolved, though.
Yeah.
Like he just ran him over.
Also,
he did. He picked him up.
Let's talk about Sultan of Swag.
He slammed him to the ground. He dominated.
Made a tackle.
Oh, come on. That was an impressive tackle.
No, it was. No doubt.
It would have been Cooper DeJean's tackle.
It would have been even more impressive if Derrick Henry would have got the rolling and he would have did that.
But he stopped him before he got rolling.
Yeah, that was probably the
Cooper DeJean won, Derrick Henry zero. That's my scoreboard.
I'm just saying.
My scoreboard.
Cooper DeJean is the slayer of kings.
That's right.
Exciter of whites. Not a safety.
No, he's not a safety. Hulk Hogan, good phone call. I like that. I mean, I think Hugh was poo-pooing the Cooper DeJean tackle.
No, not at all.
You have such an agenda, dude.
No, I don't have an agenda.
But right through it.
It's funny how, it was a good tackle.
Great.
But it's funny how it's turned into how you he just planted me like he crushed him.
He did.
Okay.
Well, it's an iconic thing for a rookie to pick up Derrick Henry and slam him on the ground.
He's a white corner.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that have to do with it?
Did you just you people your own people?
Yes.
What is he doing?
I can do that.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, I'm not the only one who thinks when Cooper plays really well, it's extra impressive. He's not supposed to be able to do this.
And that's why it's funny, because it just feels like we put a little bit more season on it because it's him.
Yeah, because he's
it
not.
It was a good tackle, though. I mean,
it was a really good tackle.
It wasn't like he put that bike on him and sprinted through him. Like, that would have been impressive.
Well, but he's also given up, I don't know, 80 pounds.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That would have been impressive.
If I told you that he was going to meet Derrick Henry in the open field and not only let up no ground whatsoever, but pick him up and put him on his back, be like, damn, that's impressive.
You got to watch it again.
Now, time out.
No.
Nope.
It's not like he met. He
it's
caught
time out,
him
not
when
granted.
He was, okay. Listen, because you're making me sound like the bad guy. I'm going to just let it breathe. But it was a good tackle.
Just see through your agenda.
I mean,
I don't have an agenda.
Let's watch this again.
I have an agenda.
I mean, he caught him.
No, that was a good one. But as you can see, Derrick Henry was just trying to protect himself at that point. It wasn't like he was a full head of steam.
Wow, sounds to me like Derrick Henry's washed. Is that what Hugh Douglas is saying? Trying to protect himself against a rookie corner?
We're in on the Hulk Hogan thing, right? I mean, he's new. That's his second phone call.
No, I like Hulk Hogan a lot.
Well, I tell y'all, funny, man.
Did we ever come up with a good name for the defense?
I had a friend of mine. He brought a list. He brought a list of names.
Okay,
wait a minute.
I like the Baby Boomers. I mean, I haven't heard a better one than the Baby Boomers.
Let me get this list out. Okay, the list is the Broad Street Brawlers, the Philly Fortress.
Philly Fortress? Like you can't penetrate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Liberty Wall. The Midnight Maulers.
See, a lot of these are Eagles specific, but not like I want something that makes me think of this specific group.
Like the Legion of Boom, know who I'm talking
about. Exactly. Like
Philly.
We know about Gangrene and all that.
They want you to be their own thing. Okay. But those are pretty. That was better than the other one. What was the other one we had? I forgot it already.
The Baby Boomers. They are the youngest defense in the league, and they bring the boom. Hugh?
I like the way when you say it like that, the Baby Boomers.
Yeah, they bring the boom, and they're the youngest defense in the NFL. And it's got a kind of clever name, like people will remember that, Baby Boomers.
I'm open for more suggestions.
Are you
I'm
a
just
boomer,
saying.
By the way, Hugh, or are you generation Gen?
I forgot. I used to know this. I'm not the Baby Boomer.
Okay.
I think I'm am I Gen Z? Am I Gen X? Which one am I?
Yeah, I think
I'm Gen X.
Then millennials are after Gen X?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think I'm Gen X.
Yeah, I aged you like a decade there.
Yeah, I did. I used to know
you
this.
A boomer.
Millennials are like
Milliminals.
Interchangeable for like Gen Y, because X, Y, Z. So Z is after us.
Z is after us.
That's why we're supposedly Gen Y, but they just call us millennials.
Oh, I didn't realize that. They changed their name on us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to figure out a good name.
I like that better, though.
We need to workshop
these
names.
I just want to be another gen insert here.
Millennials,
like, we have our own.
Stand out more. All right, baby boomers are our best one we got so far, the baby boomers.
I like the baby boomers. You don't even think they're a necessity. You might not get a say
here.
Oh,
I don't get it. I lost my vote just that quick. Gotcha.
I mean, I think there's some people are starting to chime in with some good ones here, and we might come up with a better one. But I think the leader in the clubhouse right now are the baby boomers. Let's talk.
Give it a day.
And anyone who's upset about that being the name, come up with a better one.
Give it a day. That's always my thing. You don't like the idea? What's yours? Trevor in New Jersey. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, Hugh, I just have a question. Are you going to dye your beard green or is it going to be gone after this season?
We're workshopping that as well.
What do you think he should do, Trevor?
I think he should dye his hair green and still shave the beard.
Oh, dye his hair green.
Well, you know, that would be a problem, seeing as that I don't have hair. You know, so it's like it has to be the beard.
Yeah, and I have a question. Do you guys think that Sirianni should get an extension after this season, or what do you think is going to happen?
I think we're trending towards him getting one.
Joe wanted to fire him like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was not 2 weeks ago. That's a lie, Trevor. That was in September. And
like it's the first lie that's been told on the show today.
It is, yes. Trevor, I would wait till after the playoffs. I want to see them go on a playoff run before I extend them. But I think this is going to end with him getting an extension after the season. I think we're headed there.
And don't you think that Nick Sirianni outcoached John Harbaugh yesterday, or is that just what I'm thinking? Because all those punts and stuff yesterday and John Harbaugh going for all those field goals and missing them.
He was trying to get his team going on.
Nick Sirianni outcoached a good coach.
His team was more prepared and played better. As far as outcoached,
they out-physical
yeah, I mean, he coached a better game. I'll meet you there. I mean, he coached a better game than Harbaugh, and his decisions worked, which Trevor, we preached the phone call. I didn't think Harbaugh did anything egregious, though. His kicker just missed kicks, right? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, so much so that's the story this morning, whether or not he's done. Justin Tucker's done. I don't think Coach Harbaugh's gone there yet. You know, I will say this about that. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think Justin Tucker is benefiting from the fact that Coach Harbaugh has a special teams background because he gave him a hug after the game.
He knows what. Yeah,
he knows the pressures of that. He probably understands that more than any other coach in the NFL because of that. So when he was in a press conference, and he said basically, I think that's a little bit premature. He still has his players back, man, and I commend him for that because that. To have a kicker that automatic who just looked like he just lost his mojo just that quickly and you still believe in the guy, I mean, shouts out to Coach Harbaugh for that, man. Because most coaches would have threw him under the bus.
Totally. If his name wasn't Justin Tucker and he didn't have the career he's had.
Oh, yeah, he'd probably be out of there.
He'd be cut today, right? If his name, like, just think of a random kicker. I don't know, Nick Folk or, you know.
Cody Parkey.
Al Del Greco. He's just named kickers now over the years. If he was one of those guys, he'd be out. They're not going to cut him because of the career he's had, and I guess they'll hope he's going to get better. He's terrible now.
It's just the way he's.
It's crazy. I mean, he's the best kicker I've ever seen. He stinks.
He's like, you're garbage. Yeah, he was pretty bad yesterday.
Look, after the game, he said, I don't think that would be wise to, like, get rid of him or whatever. Like, why not?
I guess they're afraid he
because
figures
he feels
it out.
Like he's going to work his way out of this.
Does it look like it to you? He's been terrible.
He missed by a lot.
I'm glad he was off. So, because we'd probably be having a different we'd have had a different game. I'm not saying we wouldn't have had a different conversation,
year,
but a different game.
He what?
He's been off all year. I mean, he is a weak spot on the Ravens. Like at a certain point, you say like it's not a fluke thing that he was missing left and right. He stinks this year.
He's probably going to cost them a playoff game. I mean, if I had to guess how this ends, he's going to miss a kick. They're going to lose by, I don't know, 3 points or 2 points or 1 point in a playoff game. That's it. Like he's just that game yesterday really was helped out by his misses. I mean, the Eagles are probably down in the third and fourth quarter instead of having a slight advantage and trying to hold on to it if he just makes kicks. I even thought the one where he missed the extra point, it made it, I don't know, maybe it was just me, it felt different. Like 9-0 versus 10-0.
I totally agree.
It was just a point, it felt different to me.
Because when it was 7-9, you're like, if we kick a field goal, we have the lead. And then we scored a touchdown anyway, but it just 9 looks so much better than 10.
I don't know why, it's 1 point, it just felt different. All right, let's talk to Adam in Newtown Square. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
Adam,
up,
what's going on?
Not much, I'm on the golf course, but what I want to know is, I'm watching Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean play unbelievable, and I've never seen rookies play that well so fast. And I'm wondering, is that a Vic Fangio thing? Who is coaching these guys that makes them look that good that quickly? How do they know what they're doing so well so early?
I would say because I would assume that the defense he's made it simple for them to grasp with the calls and everything.
And they've just probably gravitated towards it. Because I remember hearing when Coop was talking about when he was hurt, how he would get the information from Quinyon and they would study together. So maybe that's part of that, too, because he never got a chance to get behind.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, as fans, we hear about Vic Fangio all the time, and it's very hard to comprehend what exactly, you know, what difference does a defensive coordinator make?
Well, I would tell you this.
All this praise. How do these guys, is that a difference that he's making?
Well, I'll tell you this. The thing that I remember about Jim Johnson's defense is how easy it was to pick up, like right out the gate. Like a lot of the calls were kind of similar. They had little nuances where they're a little different, you know, with the strength of the call and everything like that. But for the most part, it was a real simple defense to pick up. So okay. Maybe that's what it is. And wait a minute, did you say you were on a golf course? Did he say that? Did
yeah.
I hear that?
It's yeah. a little cold it's for like 35 degrees, man.
Well, oh, yeah,
that's dedication.
Just laced my 3-wood. Wasted about 300. Feels great.
You playing today, Hugh?
You almost made me say something.
I mean,
it's not my game.
To be
man.
Fair, to
why
Adam,
has Asai Reddick been on four other freaking football
Adam, good
team?
Phone call. To be fair to Adam, you are wearing shorts today. You scoffed at this like the idea of this is too cold to do.
No,
you're
listen.
Wearing shorts.
No, it's one thing to wear shorts when I go from my truck to the building. It's a whole nother beast to be outside just willy nilly with no shorts on. Because the way I look at it is this:
I don't know.
I'm not gonna be outside that long.
I think it's more bizarre to wear shorts when it's 22 degrees than play golf today.
You know what's funny? And when I was, again, when I was walking through the building, people looked at me like they thought I was lost. It was like, why? Who key card did he steal? Why is he here?
Is that guy okay?
That's the vibe that I got. You know what I mean? But it's like, nah, you know, I know. I might, you know, shape my beard up a little bit, but people looked a little nervous. They looked a little nervous.
Yeah,
when
we saw Spike in the little common meeting room, and he pointed out you got a little Uncle Eddie feeling today.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I mean,
see
man,
that.
Listen, this ain't my first rodeo. I mean, this is like the go to look for me around this time of year. I mean, it is. So it's not like I'm breaking new ground. I just got comfortable because you remember last year when I first got here, I tried to switch it up and I tried to be corporate a little bit. You know, I put the sweatsuits on and what. But then I was like, man, I've been here too long. I gotta be me.
What? Here, sweatsuits are not corporate.
Well, in my world, that's corporate sweatsuit.
I got dressed up for everyone. I wore a sweatsuit to work.
But no, the shorts and the hoodie. That's like staples for around this time of year.
Yeah, it's a little chilly for that, but you
I'm
do
sorry,
you
what?
Are.
Yeah, this is a staple.
And where?
This is like the go-to outfit.
No, it's no.
You know what I'm saying? This is my go-to outfit.
Your go-to outfit.
Yeah, because it's
yes.
just, you
okay.
know, wake
I
up in the morning, this is my go-to.
I just like how you said, you went corporate.
I went corporate. I tried to, you know, I tried to let everybody
feel
comfortable.
I'm going to kill them with this outfit.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I used to set them out. Then I was like, you know what? I've been here. They know.
You
they
got,
know
you got too
with.
Comfortable. All right. 215-592-9049 for all your phone calls reacting to the win. We're also accepting nicknames for this Eagles defense. The Baby Boomers is our best one we've got so far. Plus, another eventful week in the NFL. We'll recap it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Make your first NBA bet a swish with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is all your favorite bets from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Plus, check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts, or after already tipped off, you can pick up a W whenever. Now is the perfect time to get in on the action. Right now, new customers can bet $5. You get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. Have a ball betting with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. What do you think, you the baby boomers?
Oh, this song is terrible.
Oh, come on.
This is that. This is the
Jingle Boom. The Jingle Boom.
With what's the name of the crew that this is Spike's favorite song? I can't remember the name of the crew.
Well, you got Big Justice.
Yeah, the
AJ
Rizzler.
And the Rizzler. Rizzler.
Yeah, no, this is terrible.
It's not good.
This is not good at all.
My kids love it. We've had this on a loop for about two straight weeks.
For real?
Oh yeah.
This is terrible.
Oh my goodness.
It's Big Justice.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
Something's off about the dad.
Well, the AJ, he was a Eric.
He missed
Justice.
His moment, and now he's riding the kids' coattails.
There's something a little bit weird.
Oh yeah, there's a lot. There's
what
a lot
do you mean?
There. I watched him.
I mean, is this a conversation
him,
for off the air?
Maybe.
It sounds like.
You think it's that bad?
Well, no. I mean, it's not like nothing like heinous. It's just a little bit weird. The like he's prostituting his kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The Rizzler's not even his kid.
Right,
that's
right.
Just another kid. I don't know where he came from. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what you mean he took somebody else's kid?
I don't think he took him. I mean, just think
the way you said it. That ain't even his kid.
It's not. They were Bryce Harper was doing a home run derby with these guys over the weekend. They're everywhere. Yeah, the afternoon show plays their stuff a lot. I thought of them because, you know, we're talking about the baby boomers here. Those guys, they bring the boom. Hugh doesn't like this.
I like the Broad Street Brawlers.
It just feels.
It feels like you could use that for any Eagles defense in history that was ever good. Like,
well, you know what's funny? Nobody ever came up with a good defensive name that I could think of. Ever.
For your team
or any team?
But there was like Gangrene, right?
Okay, Gangrene is that. Yeah.
The Legion of Boom was a great one.
Steel Curtain.
Okay, I remember the New York Sack Exchange.
There's been some really good purple people.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, it's like what do they call the Baltimore Ravens defense?
I don't think they had one.
No, they didn't. They just called Baltimore Ravens defense.
The Cowboys in the 70s were the Doomsday defense, I believe, right?
Doomsday.
The Doomsday defense.
Okay, I remember that
Purple
one.
Purple People Eaters, Steel Curtain.
The no-name defense. Wasn't it a no-name defense, too?
That was Miami, maybe?
I think
you
so.
You might be right on that. I think we were better as a society with nicknames 50 years ago. We can't even come up with one on a whole show today.
Not a one.
Again, the Baby Boomers is pretty good.
It's good. Yeah. I want it to be unique to this particular group.
They're the youngest defense in the NFL.
I would like it to be something that incorporates the exciting whites.
But there's only two of them.
I know, but that's what makes it, I think it would make it unique.
Well, we'd have to do exciting whites and then incorporate the other guys.
I mean, like Jalen Carter's kind of the anchor.
But now
and he's not, you know.
You know what's funny? We got to be careful with
this.
It's a
weird
though.
Conversation.
I
don't feel comfortable anymore.
We might need to workshop this one off the air.
I realize how uncomfortable this conversation was as it was coming out of my mouth.
You know what's funny? When you said it and I said what I said, I was like, yeah, we probably need to workshop this one off the air.
We'll do it off the air. For now, the Baby Boomers is the best we got.
They should embrace the whole Hughes defense is a luxury thing and go by like the necessity or the luxury, like something tongue in cheek that's a shot at Hugh.
They start taking shots at Hugh in all the post games.
We like
it'd be
pettiness.
Great.
Yep. Pettiness.
I would
is
not
encouraged.
Have a problem with that.
And then you would take credit, right?
For I'm taking credit now.
If I were you, I would. Yeah.
Mm. All right, let's go back to the phones. Then we'll go over what happened across the league and how it impacted the Eagles in week 13. T in North Philly. What's up, T?
How y'all doing today?
What's
good,
up,
T.
Man?
What's up?
Listen, I had to get on here to say, Hugh, you my man, but we got to give up the take, bro.
What are you talking about? I've given this defense their props. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm saying we got to give up the take, though. Like, defense is no longer a luxury. It's definitely
they're playing
necessity.
Well. What do you want me to say?
Oh, but see, T's ready to say it with his chest. You're dancing around.
I'm not dancing around. I say they're playing well.
Listen, my whole thing is we have the best defense in the league. Like, we just went up against one of the most explosive offenses in the game today.
No doubt.
Other than ours.
So what's your problem with what I got to say?
Oh, it's nothing. I feel like we just got to retire the tape.
No.
He was with you.
I got 5 weeks.
Oh, Hugh, it's over, man. It's over.
T's throwing your life rack, buddy.
I got 5 weeks,
he's going
weeks,
down
dog.
With you.
Listen, you'll never give up the Alamo. They didn't give up on the Alamo knowing that it was about to be a wrap.
The Alamo?
They rolled that thing out to the end.
It was in the 1800s.
Yeah, they rolled that thing out.
Young people don't even know what the Alamo is anymore.
No, Tito probably know what the Alamo is.
You know what the Alamo is, T?
Yes.
That's the whole point is to not forget.
Yeah.
To remember the Alamo.
Yeah, T, I got 5 weeks, dog. I'm going to ride it out. I got to ride because it's about the principality at this point.
Listen, my whole thing at this is like if you really got to wait 5 weeks, you expect last season all over again.
No. Hold on.
He's got a great point.
Don't do that, T. I'm not expecting that. What I'm saying is this. this trip for me is probably going to end up in Louisiana with a green beard. But until that actually happens, I'm not conceding to these two clowns up in here.
It sounds like you don't trust this defense still.
These two bullies, I'm not conceding to these two bullies that I work with on a day-to-day basis.
I like to read between the lines, and what I hear is Hugh doesn't take this defense seriously. He wants to see how they handle down the stretch.
See what I'm talking about?
Questioning Fangio.
See what
saying,
I'm talking about?
Don't pay Bond.
I think he's onto something.
Yeah. Two bullies, man. Work with two bullies. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of conceding my take until the absolute last day.
Everyone knows defense is a necessity.
And they like to tell me on a day-to-day basis. I get it.
Hold on. Are we not going to say that every defense is a necessity? But this one is. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
Baltimore had a defense, and then we punched them in the mouth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
they're playing excited. They're playing with a lot of energy. That's the one thing that jumped out to me yesterday. They had a whole quarter where Baltimore had the ball.
And they didn't score.
Not only that, though, but one thing that stands out to me this year versus last year is that we got more people on the sidelines with passion other than A.J. Brown. Last year it was only A.J.
They care. It seems like they're all into this way more. And that could be a product of winning. T, we appreciate it. But
I might have a name. Somebody said.
For the, defense? What do you got?
Tanya, shout out to Tanya. She said, since this defense is luxury, how about calling them the debt collectors?
The debt collectors?
I kind of like that one.
The debt collectors.
I kind of like the debt, because it's like you collected a debt that I said you didn't matter that much, and now you collected the debt.
It's your debt.
Yeah, they collected my debt. Mm. Debt collectors.
We could also call them the grave diggers. They're digging your takes grave. Week by week, they're just digging that grave.
Yeah, I kind of like the debt collectors.
All right, we got some good options here.
That's a good one. I like that. Well, Tanya, shout out to Tanya for sliding the DMs and shooting that one to me.
All right, before we go any further on the phone lines, let's go around the NFL here. Week number 13. That's tonight with the Broncos and the Browns. But for all intents and purposes, we're there through 13 weeks in the NFL. The big one, we kind of alluded to it a little bit, but didn't fully go into it. You may have been done with dinner, had to have dinner, maybe you were falling asleep. If you were watching the Bears-Lions game on Thursday at the end, you witnessed the worst. Eberflus makes Sirianni look like Belichick and Landry and Shula rolled into one. That was the dumbest coaching I've ever seen. Everyone sat there and said with their family, this guy should be fired tomorrow, and then he was fired tomorrow. They let 30 seconds just tick off the clock with the timeout in field goal range and then threw a Hail Mary to lose the game.
You know what's funny about that is that he sat there in that press conference and he tried his damnedest to explain. Like, there were people that don't know NFL rules that knew that when there was 30 seconds ticking off the clock, something's not right. They knew he was supposed to do something. They didn't know what he was supposed to do, but they knew that whatever it was not good. And so much so that there was a report that even the players – they went in the locker room, and I guess he went to break it down, and they was like, "Nah, cuz, dog, you need to sit this one out, partner. ain't nothing you can say to me at this point."
The Bears trotted him out there for the press conference on Friday, then fired him afterwards. I'm looking at the box score right now. If you didn't see it live, you'd say there's no way this is actually true. Caleb Williams was sacked at the 41-yard line with 36 seconds to go. They had a timeout. The next play was the last play of the game. How does that happen? It obviously hurt the Eagles. That game was destined for overtime. If they just call a timeout and then it's a long field goal, maybe they make it, maybe they miss it, but they probably could have run one more play, got out of bounds, or spiked the ball, and then kicked a field goal, and the game goes to overtime. The Eagles may have been in the number one seed right now if it wasn't for Eberflus. So he was a disaster on Thursday. Got fired on Friday. On Friday, the Chiefs do it again, Hugh. It's every game. They win every single game. And you're like, how'd they win that game? They got outplayed by the Raiders on Friday. And they still won the game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
With the center snapping the ball and Aiden O'Connell knowing where the ball is. That one was pretty wild on Friday. Hugh, what hit you yesterday from the other games? I mean, the one thing do you take the Vikings seriously? We haven't mentioned them in like five weeks.
They've been that team that's been flying under the radar. Nobody's really talking about it.
Talked about them
early in the season. But then they kind of flew under the radar. I think for them right now, that's probably the best place for them to be. You know, because the two teams that everybody's talking about, which they got to see the Detroit Lions later on, is the Eagles and the Detroit Lions. The they're probably in a good spot for that.
The Packers get talked about. I think the Packers are better than the Vikings, but the Vikings are 10-2. I don't really buy it, but they're going to be in the playoffs. And who knows? We might see them when they're in the postseason. All right, the last thing was late last night. After the Eagles game, Saquon had moved to clearly the second shortest odds to win the MVP, and it wasn't that big of a gap between Josh Allen and Saquon, but then Allen had himself a night last night. He ran for a touchdown, he threw for a touchdown, and then was he credited with a receiving touchdown?
Yeah, on the same play. It was a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown on that play.
Man, he got engaged.
He got credit for both?
Yes, he did.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, sure it does. He threw a touchdown that resulted, he threw a ball that resulted in a touchdown. And he also received the ball that resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah, but if I said to you there were four touchdowns in the game and there were 21 points, you'd say it doesn't make any sense.
Well, so like Mariota got credit for throwing a ball that got tipped back to him that he carried into the end zone. It's the same ruling.
Is Saquon going to lose me a 150-1 MVP bet because of the stat?
Maybe, yeah.
So latest odds for the NFL MVP. It is Allen as a pretty big favorite right now. Josh Allen is minus 250 to be the NFL MVP. Saquon at 5-1. Lamar at 9-1. Nobody else shorter than 10-1. It feels like a two-person race right now. Feels like Allen and Saquon have separated.
Yeah. That was a tough one for the Saquon MVP.
I still don't think Allen has amazing stats.
Yeah, but like if you...
I know, but
if you watch the Bills, the only reason they should be as good as they are right now is because of Josh Allen.
Well, he's a great player.
But
they have their best running game they've ever had with him.
Right.
Josh Cook's really
James
good.
Cook.
James
yeah.
Cook, sorry.
James Cook.
Yeah, I mean, they run the ball really well. I don't know.
He's an MVP. I mean.
Are Josh Allen's numbers that different than Jalen Hurts?
We get too wrapped up in numbers,
I think. But usually that is significant for the MVP.
But who has more of an impact on their team's winning, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen? Just be honest about it.
Of course, Josh Allen.
Okay.
He's a better
Value.
Player.
And their receivers weren't playing well early on.
I don't see he has an MVP resume. I don't see it.
I'm getting a little too caught up in numbers.
I don't see it.
Value.
But numbers usually dictate who wins, is my point.
No, but it shouldn't be, right?
Well, like, but that's different.
But you can be realistic about it and say, what value is Josh Allen bringing to his team?
Are you on value?
We know the question.
There's still value
the
on Saquon. 5-1.
Sure.
He gets 2,000 yards. I think he's winning the MVP. What do you think, Hugh? The baby boomers?
Oh, this song is terrible.
Oh, come on.
This is the
Jingle Boom. The Jingle Boom.
With what's the name of the crew that this is Spike's favorite song? I can't remember the name of the crew.
Well, you got Big Justice.
Yeah, the
AJ
Rizzler.
And the Rizzler.
Yeah, this is terrible.
It's not good.
This is not good at all.
My kids love it. We've had this on a loop for about two straight weeks.
For real?
Oh yeah.
This is terrible.
My goodness.
It's Big Justice.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
Something's off about the dad.
Well, AJ, he was Eric.
He missed
Justice.
His moment, and now he riding the kids' coattails.
There's something a little bit weird.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
What do you mean?
There. Is this a conversation
for off the air?
No, maybe.
It sounds like
you think it's that bad.
Well, no. I mean, it's not like nothing like heinous. It's just a little bit weird. Like he's prostituting his kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The Rizzler's not even his kid.
Right,
that's
right.
Just another kid. I don't know where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what you mean he took somebody else's kid?
I don't think he took him. I mean, just think
the way you said it. That ain't even his kid.
It's not. Bryce Harper was doing a home run derby with these guys over the weekend. They're everywhere. Yeah, the afternoon show plays their stuff a lot. I thought of them because, you know, we're talking about the baby boomers here. Those guys, they bring the boom. Hugh doesn't like this.
I like the Broad Street Brawlers.
It just feels.
It feels like you could use that for any Eagles defense in history that was ever good. Like,
you know what's funny? Nobody ever came up with a good defensive name that I could think of. Ever.
For your team
or any team?
Well, there was a Gangrene, right?
Okay, Gangrene is that. Yeah.
Well, the Legion of Boom was a great one.
Steel Curtain.
Okay, I remember the New York Sack Exchange.
There's been some really good purple people.
No, but I'm just saying, it's like, what do they call the Baltimore Ravens defense?
I don't think they had one.
No, they didn't. They just called Baltimore Ravens.
The Cowboys in the 70s were the Doomsday defense, I believe, right?
Doomsday.
Yeah, the Doomsday defense.
Okay, I remember that
Purple People Eaters, Steel Curtain.
The no-name defense. Wasn't it a no-name defense, too?
That was Miami, maybe?
I think so.
You might be right on that. I think we were better as a society with nicknames 50 years ago. We can't even come up with one on a whole show today.
Not a one.
Again, the Baby Boomers is pretty good.
It's good. Yeah. I want it to be unique to this particular group.
They're the youngest defense in the NFL.
I would like it to be something that incorporates the exciting whites.
But there's only two of those.
I know, but that's what makes it, I think it would make it unique.
Well, we'd have to do exciting whites and then incorporate the other guys.
I mean, like, Jalen Carter's kind of the anchor.
But now
he's not, you know.
You know what's funny? We got to be careful with this one.
Yeah, it's a weird conversation to have.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable anymore.
We might need to workshop this one off the air.
I realize how uncomfortable this conversation was as it was coming out of my mouth.
You know what's funny? When you said it and I said what I said, I was like, yeah, we probably need to workshop this one off the air.
We'll do it off the air. For now, the Baby Boomers is the best we got.
They should embrace the whole Hughes defense is a luxury thing and go by like the necessity or the luxury, like something tongue-in-cheek that's a shot at Hugh.
They start taking shots at Hugh in all the post games.
We like
it'd be
pettiness.
Great.
Yep. Pettiness.
I would not have a problem with that.
And then you would take credit, right?
Man, I'm taking credit now.
If I were you, I would.
Mm. All right, let's go back to the phones. Then we'll go over what happened across the league and how it impacted the Eagles in week 13. T in North Philly. What's up, T?
How y'all doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Listen, I had to get on here to say, Hugh, you my man, but we got to give up the take, bro.
What are you talking about? I've given this defense their props. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm saying we got to give up the take, though. Like, defense is no longer a luxury. It's definitely
they're playing well. What do you want me to say?
Oh, but see, T's ready to say it with his chest. You're dancing around.
I'm not dancing around. I said they're playing well.
Listen, the whole thing is we have the best defense in the league. Like, we just went up against one of the most explosive offenses in the game today.
No doubt.
Other than ours.
So what's your problem with what I got to say?
Oh, it's nothing. I feel like we just got retired to take.
No.
He was with you.
I got five weeks.
Oh, Hugh, it's over, man.
T's throwing your life raft, buddy.
I got five
weeks,
dog.
He's going down with you.
Listen, you'll never give up the Alamo. They didn't give up on the Alamo knowing that it was about to be a wrap.
The Alamo.
They rolled that thing out to the end.
It was in the 1800s.
Yeah, they rolled that thing out.
Young people don't even know what the Alamo is anymore.
No, Tito probably know what the Alamo is.
You know what the Alamo is, T?
Yes.
That's the whole point, is to not forget.
Yeah.
To remember the Alamo.
Yeah, T, I got 5 weeks, dog. I'm going to ride it out. I got to ride because it's about the principality at this point.
Listen, my whole thing at this is like, if you really got to wait 5 weeks, you expect last season all over again.
No. Hold on.
He's got a great point.
Don't do that, T. I'm not expecting that. What I'm saying is this. This trip for me is probably going to end up in Louisiana with a green beard. But until that actually happens, I'm not conceding to these two clowns up in here.
It sounds like you don't trust this defense still.
These two bullies, I'm not conceding to these two bullies that I work with on a day-to-day basis.
I like to read between the lines, and what I hear is Hugh doesn't take this defense seriously. He wants to see how they handle down the stretch.
See what I'm talking about?
Questioning Fangio.
See what I'm talking about?
Don't pay Bond.
I think he's onto something.
Yeah. Two bullies, man. Work with two bullies. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of conceding my take until the absolute last day.
Everyone knows defense is a necessity.
And they like to tell me on a day-to-day basis. I get it.
Hold on. Are we not going to say that every defense is a necessity? But this one is. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
Baltimore had a defense, and then we punched them in the mouth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
and they're playing excited. They're playing with a lot of energy. That's the one thing that jumped out to me yesterday. They had a whole quarter where Baltimore had the ball.
And they didn't score.
Not only that, though, but one thing that stand out to me this year versus last year is that we got more people on the sidelines with passion other than A.J. Brown. Last year it was only A.J.
They care. It seems like they're all into this way more. And that could be a product of winning. T, we appreciate it. But I think
I might have a name. Somebody said.
For the, the defense?
For the,
what do you got?
Somebody said, Tanya, shout out to Tanya. She said, since this defense is luxury, how about calling them the debt collectors?
The debt collectors?
I kind of like that one.
Debt collectors.
I kind of like the debt, because it's like you collected a debt that I said you didn't matter that much, and now you collected the debt.
It's your debt.
Yeah, they're collecting my debt. Mm. Debt collectors. I kind of like that.
We could also call them the grave diggers. They're digging your takes grave. <Yeah. laughs> Week by week, they're just digging that grave.
Yeah, I kind of like the debt collectors.
All right, we got some good options
here.
That's
a good one. I like that. Well, Tanya, shout out to Tanya for shooting me that, sliding the DMs and shooting that one to me.
All right, before we go any further on the phone lines, let's go around the NFL here. Week number 13. That's tonight with the Broncos and the Browns. But for all intents and purposes, we're there through 13 weeks in the NFL. The big one, we kind of alluded to it a little bit, but didn't fully go into it. You may have been done with dinner, out to have dinner, maybe you were falling asleep. If you were watching the Bears-Lions game on Thursday at the end, you witnessed the worst. Eberflus makes Sirianni look like Belichick and Landry and Shula rolled into one. That was the dumbest coaching I've ever seen. Everyone sat there and said with their family, this guy should be fired tomorrow, and then he was fired tomorrow. They let 30 seconds just tick off the clock with the timeout in field goal range and then threw a Hail Mary to lose the game.
You know what's funny about that is that he sat there in that press conference and he tried his damnedest to explain. Like, there were people that don't know NFL rules that knew that when there was 30 seconds ticking off the clock, something's not right. They knew he was supposed to do something. They didn't know what he was supposed to do, but they knew that whatever it was not good. And so much so that there was a report that even the players, they went in the locker room, and I guess he went to break it down, and they was like, "Nah, cuz, dog, you need to sit this one out, partner. ain't nothing you can say to me at this point."
The Bears trotted him out there for the press conference on Friday, then fired him afterwards. I'm looking at the box score right now. If you didn't see it live, you'd say there's no way this is actually true. Caleb Williams was sacked at the 41-yard line with 36 seconds to go. They had a timeout. The next play was the last play of the game. How does that happen? And it obviously hurt the Eagles. That game was destined for overtime. If they just call a timeout and then it's a long field goal, maybe they make it, maybe they miss it, but they probably could have run one more play, got out of bounds, or spiked the ball, and then kicked a field goal, and the game goes to overtime. The Eagles may have been in the number one seed right now if it wasn't for Eberflus. So he was a disaster on Thursday, got fired on Friday. On Friday, the Chiefs do it again, Hugh. It's every game. They win every single game, and you're like, how'd they win that game? They got outplayed by the Raiders on Friday, and they still won the game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
With the center snapping the ball and Aiden O'Connell knowing where the ball is. That one was pretty wild on Friday. Hugh, what hit you yesterday from the other games? I mean, the one thing I do you take the Vikings seriously? We haven't mentioned them in like 5
They've
weeks.
They've been that team that's been flying, flying under the radar. Nobody's really talking about it.
They have the same record as the Eagles.
Talked about them early in the season, but then they kind of flew under the radar. I think for them right now, that's probably the best place for them to be, you know, because the two teams that everybody's talking about, which they got to see the Detroit Lions later on, is the Eagles and the Detroit Lions. They're probably in a good spot for that.
The Packers get talked to them. I think the Packers are better than the Vikings, but the Vikings are 10-2. I don't really buy it, but they're going to be in the playoffs, and who knows, we might see them when they're in the postseason. All right, the last thing was late last night. After the Eagles game, Saquon had moved to clearly the second shortest odds to win the MVP, and it wasn't that big of a gap between Josh Allen and Saquon, but then Allen had himself a night last night. He ran for a touchdown. He threw for a touchdown, and then was he credited with a receiving touchdown?
Yeah, on the same play. It was a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown on that play.
And he got engaged.
He got credit for both?
Yes, he did.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, sure it does. He threw a touchdown that resulted. He threw a ball that resulted in a touchdown, and he also received the ball that resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah, but if I said to you there were 4 touchdowns in the game and there were 21 points, you'd say it doesn't make any sense.
Well, so like Mariota got credit for throwing a ball that got tipped back to him that he carried into the end zone. It's the same ruling.
Is Saquon going to lose me a 150-1 MVP bet because of the stat?
Maybe, yeah.
So, latest odds for the NFL MVP. It is Allen as a pretty big favor right now. Josh Allen is -250 to be the NFL MVP. Saquon at 5-1. Lamar at 9-1. Nobody else shorter than 10-1. It feels like a two-person race right now. It feels like Allen and Saquon have separated.
Yeah. That was a tough one for the Saquon MVP.
I still don't think Allen has amazing stats.
Yeah, but like if you...
I know, but
if you watch the Bills, the only reason they should be as good as they are right now is because of Josh Allen.
Well, he's a great player.
But
they have their best running game they've ever had with him.
Right.
Josh Cook's really
James
good.
Cook.
James
yeah.
Cook,
James
sorry. Cook. Yeah, I mean, they run the ball really well. I don't know.
He's an MVP. I mean,
Are Josh Allen's numbers that different than Jalen Hurts?
We get too wrapped up in numbers,
I think. Usually that is significant for the MVP.
But who has more of an impact on their team's winning, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen? Just be honest about it.
Of course, Josh Allen. Okay. He's a better player.
And their receivers weren't playing well early on.
I don't see he has an MVP resume. I don't see it.
I'm getting a little too caught up in numbers.
I don't see it.
Value.
But numbers usually dictate who wins, is my point.
No, but it shouldn't be, right?
Well, but that's different.
But you can be realistic about it and say, what value is Josh Allen bringing to his team?
Are you on value?
We know the question.
There's still value on Saquon, 5-1.
Sure.
He gets 2,000 yards. I think he's winning the MVP.